Let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 as we continue on our series here, Misunderstood Verses of the New Testament. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll read verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Now, this verse is not containing any fundamental doctrine, I guess we could say. A misunderstanding of this verse or a misapplication of verse is not going to affect too much. In fact, what I'm looking at here today with this verse is not so much a misinterpretation, really, of it, as perhaps more of a misquotation or a misapplication is probably a better way to say it, how this verse is continually misapplied. And I see it all the time. It's used in, verses on the wall, and Bible texts put up on the wall. Christians quote it all the time. I see it all the time on Twitter. In fact, the other day, I saw Franklin Graham quoted it in this misapplied sense, and this is no comment on, and I'm not making any comment on Franklin Graham, positive or negative here. I'm just stating, and I'm not saying that to put him down either. It's just the fact that it's a common misapplication of this verse. So how this verse is used is that the things that are laying before us as Christians, the hope that lays before us, you know, heaven and glory and all of these things, are so wonderful and so marvelous that we can't understand them. The things that God has prepared for us, right, for them that love him, has not even entered into our heart. They're so magnificent. Now, there may be an element of truth to that. You know, when Paul was caught up to the third heaven and saw and heard, rather, things, he said that was not lawful for man to speak. The idea there is not only that it was not lawful, but it was even impossible for him to declare what he had heard. So, sure, there's aspects of things in heaven that are going to, I guess, to put it in the colloquial, it's going to blow our mind. But what Paul is saying here is the truths related to Christianity, our hope, the things that lay before us, what he's actually saying is just the opposite of how this verse is often applied, or I should say misapplied. And as I say again, it's used in the sense that we can't really know what God has prepared for those that love him. But Paul's saying the opposite, and we can see that very easily simply by looking at the next verse. You know, it's always good to look at the next verse. Look at the preceding verse, look at the next verse, look at the whole chapter, look at the whole epistle, look at the whole Bible, you know. Get the context of the writer. And so in verse 10, Paul says, but God has revealed them unto us. It's used, as I say, to point out that God hasn't revealed it to us, and we can't know it. But Paul's actually saying the exact opposite. He's saying, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, verse 9 is actually a quotation from Isaiah chapter 64. Paul's quoting that. He's sort of paraphrasing it because there's some small changes that he makes when he writes to the Corinthians. And sometimes these are due to these changes on these quotations from the Old Testament are due to the fact that the apostles quoted from the Septuagint translation, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew. And so there'd be slight variations and changes. But this is not really the case, I believe, with this verse. It's just simply Paul's, I guess you could say it's Paul's paraphrase of the verse. He's just making an application of it. And so we find it in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 4. Isaiah says, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither have the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he has prepared for him that waits for him. And what Isaiah is saying, no one has seen this but God. That's exactly what Isaiah says. Men have not heard about it. Men have not perceived it by ear. Neither has the eye seen it, except for God. Only God. Everyone else has not heard it, seen it, understood it, but God has. But when we come to Paul's quotation, he's making the point that in Christianity, because of the coming of the Holy Spirit, that we actually do know what has been given to us. To the Old Testament saints, there was a lot of mystery, right? They went on faith in God's word, but God's plan of redemption, the unfolding purpose of God in Christ, was still somewhat hidden to them. They got shards of it, like broken glass, you know, like a puzzle, pieces here and there. And it was through a window that has a film over it, like they saw bits and pieces and shadows, but they didn't get the whole thing. But now in the New Testament, we have the real deal, the whole thing revealed by the Spirit. That's what Paul is saying. Even the deep things of God, he has revealed to us. And he goes on to speak about the Holy Spirit in the following verses, and he says in verse 11, "What man knows the things of man, save the Spirit, or except the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God." And what Paul is saying there is that, you know, we as human beings, we know what passes within our mind and our heart. You know what's in your mind and your heart, and I know what's in my mind and my heart, what goes on inside because of my spirit. You know, I'm a self-aware being. You know, I'm not an animal, I'm not an inanimate object. You know, I'm not only a sentient being, but I'm a self-aware, self-conscious being. I'm a human. I'm created in God's image. I have a spirit that lifts my head up Godward. You know, I'm aware of my existence. I'm self-conscious, and so Paul is saying every man has his own spirit, has a spirit within him that gives him an understanding of his world round about him. But so does God. He says, like I can't know what's in your heart, and you can't know what's in my heart. But what Paul's saying, we can't know what's in God's heart as well, because God's spirit is his spirit, right? Let's just read the verse again. "For what man knows the things of a man, except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man, but the Spirit of God." Now, that was the case of the Old Testament saints that we read in Isaiah 64, I think it was verse 14, that only God, no one knows it except God, right? But Paul is saying, but we now actually have the Spirit of God. What was previously unknowable and could not be apprehended or understood now is apprehended and understood because of the Spirit of God. Now, Paul says something similar in 2 Timothy, where he says that the life and incorruptibility has come to light through the gospel. The saints of the Old Testament had certain aspects of the gospel, the faith in Jehovah, faith in Yahweh, faith that he was merciful and forgiving, and those who were genuine believers amongst them looked forward to a Messiah that was to come and so on. But the Messiah has come, and the Holy Spirit has been poured out, and the Holy Spirit has opened all these things up to us in their fullness. We have the full doctrine of grace revealed now to our hearts in a way that the Old Testament saints couldn't know. And so he says that in verse 12. "Now we have not the spirit of the world, have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit that is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." And when he speaks of the us here, we can understand it in the sense of us as Christians, but we can also understand this passage in the sense of he's speaking of himself and the other apostles. And I believe that's really the case here. And the apostles have received the Spirit of God. He's speaking about inspiration when he says in verse 13, "Things also which we speak, not words of man's that man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." He's speaking here of inspiration. And he's saying that the very words of the New Testament, of the Scripture, are Holy Spirit inspired. These words were given to the apostles by the Holy Spirit. He also says in verse 14, "But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God," because he doesn't have the Spirit of God. He only has a human spirit, not the Spirit of God. "For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned," or spiritually understood. Okay, so the apostles had the Spirit of God, and the truth of Christianity was revealed to them through revelation, and they wrote it down. Remember, the Lord Jesus said in John 14 to the disciples that when the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Helper, would come, he would bring all things to their remembrance. Everything that the Lord Jesus had said on earth would be brought to their remembrance, and much more, too. And so we have their writings, And their writings are the key also to unlocking even the Old Testament. And not only do we have their writings, we also have that same Spirit of God dwelling in. The natural man doesn't understand it, but the Christian who has the Spirit of God can understand it. Yes, there's mysteries, there's things that we disagree on and all this. But the big picture, brother and sister, the big picture of what we have as Christians is no longer hidden. It's open. It's open. And the Spirit of God leads us into all truth and helps us to understand this. So let's just go back to our verse. Let's look at it again. Let's read verse 9 and 10 together, and that really gives the impression here. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So there we go. So the next time someone quotes this verse in the sense that we can't know and can't understand the things that God has prepared for us, just give them a gentle little gracious reminder that indeed the Holy Spirit now has come. And what Paul is saying is that, but God has revealed them unto us. To whom much is given, much is required. And so because of the knowledge that we have as believers, let's not hold it to ourselves, but let's share it with others, with other Christians, and of course, with those who are yet outside the circle of grace. May the Lord bless you today. Amen.